I want to talk about abiding, abiding through the process of truth. Because see, the Lord began talking to me about this, to speak to them about truth. And I was like, Lord, no one wants me to get up here and just yell at them and convict them about truth. You know, you're supposed to be done. You need to leave those lies alone. But that wasn't what he was trying to say. Because see, there's a truth that comes that when we know the truth will set us free. We've heard that said, but what does it mean? One of the truths that needs to come forward in his life, in our life, is that he does love us. We can know it in our head, but when the chips are down, when the rubber begins to meet the road, what's in our life? What's in our heart? So there's a place called abiding. It's abiding in his presence. And then even just this morning, as you began to just feel his love being wrapped around you as the worship progressed, and as we just began to pray, that there was just a love that was in that anointing there. This anointing for his presence that brings forth the life. And it brings forth the freedom. He once told me that to have a power ministry, dwell where the power is. So there's a purpose and a reason for you to learn about abiding. Because as we abide in him, then he can begin to flow through us. As we abide in him, that strength that we find in him begins to flow through us. As we abide in him, that peace that we find in him begins to flow through us. As we abide in him, that righteousness begins to flow through us. It begins to touch those that we can touch. It begins to change those that we can speak with and that we can love on. Psalms 15, verses 1 and 2. And if you want to turn somewhere in your Bibles, just turn to John 4. And I'll get there in a few moments. Psalms 15, 1 and 2. I'm going to just read to you. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. See, it's a process. Truth is a process of safety. It's a setting aside. It's an establishing of safety and a boundary in our life. It's what allows us to abide with him. When we begin to see the truth, it allows us to abide. The greatest hindrance to our spiritual growth is when we begin to believe the lies of the enemy. When we believe the things that the environment around us has created. So we're so structured to see and to absorb things into our soul from our five senses that we've not absorbed nearly enough from our spirit. And such, the lies of the enemy become Satan's greatest tool against us. I have the pleasure of sitting with people and counseling with people and working through the sozo process with people, and invariably, it's really not the incident that they suffered that has the effect on them, it's the lie that they believe because of it. When they begin to believe that everything that surrounds me, that I've been so hurt, and therefore, being hurt, we're all going to be hurt sometime. We're all going to be abused in some way. But what do we believe about ourselves as a result? When we begin to believe that everybody's going to hurt me, that's a lie. And when we begin to understand the truth, there's freedom that comes with that. Because the truth is, God's not going to hurt you. The truth is, not every brother and sister out there is going to hurt you. The truth is that God is here to set you free. The truth is, he's going to love you and accept you. Another example, most Christians, if they really get down to it, believe that money and power are their security. And it's not something, I mean, I myself have been in that same place. But it's not. That's an illusion. It's a tool that the enemy uses to keep us in bondage and under his control. The truth is that the Lord is your provider. The truth is that he's already done everything necessary for you to have prosperity of heart, of life, and finances. He's already provided for you. But so often we get trapped into seeing it only the way that the enemy presents it to us. There are some, because of their circumstances of their life, that feel they're just too dirty to come to God. That they've already done too much, or that they're just ashamed. And those are all things that the enemy tries to put on us. Because the truth is, in this situation, that you are the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus when you take him up on his offer for grace. When you allow him to speak grace and allow him to speak that resurrection life into your life. When you accept him as your Lord and Savior, there's a life that comes. There's a righteousness that rises up within you. And that when he sees you, when the Father sees you, he sees you through the blood of the Son. He sees you as accepted and as righteous before him. See, I've come to a place in my life where I know that, and you can't possibly tell me no. Because I know. And yet, when I first got saved, I felt so much of the shame and the guilt and the condemnation of the world that I wouldn't even go up front to get prayed for because I didn't feel worthy. So I can tell you that God is here to set you free. That when his truth comes, there is freedom that comes with it. When his truth comes, it sets a new border and a new boundary around you. When his truth comes, there is a new limit. And it's not your limit. It's not the limits that we've grown up with. It's the limits of God, which is a limitless God. So things that weren't even imaginable to me in my childhood now it can come commonplace. You know, in the world, there's a lot of discussion about what truth is. I tried to look up truth and several different things online, and it was amazing. If you leave God out of the equation, there's really no such thing as truth. Because there's no absolute if you leave God out of the equation. But I'm here to tell you that God is an absolute. And there absolutely is a God. And it absolutely is a truth because he is truth. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth. And he's been called and he's been commissioned to bring truth into your life. He's been commissioned to bring resurrection into your life. Part of his anointing is the anointing of conviction. And he's to bring that into your life. And sometimes we look at conviction as like, oh, but it's something that's a freedom. Because whatever the Holy Spirit is convicting us of, there will be a life at the end of it. And there's a difference between conviction and condemnation. The enemy will bring condemnation, and you can know the fruit of condemnation because it will have the smell of death. The end result of when the enemy brings condemnation is to bring something that the end result will be death. But conviction will bring repentance, and repentance will bring life. If we look in the book of Acts. So those are the things that God is beginning to open up and he begins to share within us. When truth is seen in our life, it becomes a fruit of the Spirit. It becomes a fragrant aroma unto God. When we begin to receive His truth into our life, then we can begin to step past the inhibitions that have kept us from God. You know, at one point in time in my life, I became aware that God could see. And that meant He could see me. And not only that, I had this prophet, which you guys met, who stepped into my life at about that moment. And he began to declare what God was seeing. And I thought, uh-oh. When he declared what God was seeing, then I realized that I've got to change. I've got to change this. Because I don't want to be in this place. I want when the prophet comes to see me, it's to tell me I'm going into the next phase, not to tell me, hey, you got to get off of this place. And then because I became aware, there became a fear of the Lord that rose up in me. And at one point in time, that fear of the Lord was just pure fear. It was like, uh-oh, I'm going to get slammed. I better take care of this. But as I became more and more familiar with who God was, it became a holy reverence. I no longer have to fear Him and fear what He sees me doing. Because I've purposed in my heart to do the things that are pleasing to Him. So now when I see Him and I feel His presence looking in on me, saying, how are you doing, Chuck? It's a thing of joy. It's a thing of rejoicing in my life. Not a thing of fear. There is a reverence for His presence that's there. And no condemnation. Only joy. Got a little off the subject, but that's okay. See, we are saved by truth. I'll give you a scripture for that. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. We are saved by truth. It says, God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification by the truth. The sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Thank you, Jesus. See, there's two things that I see in this scripture. One is that it's no longer my job to clean me up. Hallelujah. That was a bigger job than I could ever imagine. And for 35 years, I did a really poor job of it. And I don't need that. I can release that to Daddy God because the Holy Spirit is here now. I've embraced the Holy Spirit and He's here and it's His job. My job is to yield to Him. My job is to listen to Him and to follow Him. But it's His job to clean me up. I don't have to. Just like earlier when I was talking about the person who felt like, you know, the lie was that they could never come to God because they were too dirty. That's because they don't understand that it's not their job to do it. Religion will put us in bondage. Religion will tend to bring us into this place where we think that we have to do the job and do the effort and make the works, but we don't. Our job is to be teachable. Our job is to embrace Him and allow Him to do the work in us. Allow Him a place to speak to us. Allow Him and give Him the time to allow Him to do something with us. You know, not much change is going to happen if you come and sit here for 50 minutes and listen to a word and you go home and you never do anything with it. But if you go home and you go, God, if there's something in me that needs to change, if there's something said that needs to be identified and needs to be worked in my spirit, then I give you permission and I'll allow you to do it. Hallelujah. Oh, me or moi? Hallelujah. But I found it fascinating that we're actually saved by believing in the truth. Because who is truth? Jesus is truth too. Our God is truth. There's one true God. One true God. See, we're called to worship and enter into abiding by truth. And I want to lay just a little bit of groundwork here. I'm going to read out of Hebrews. I forgot about that. I'm going to read out of Hebrews 8, verse 5. Hebrews 8 and 5. Just to set the stage for you. The author is speaking, and he's speaking of the time when Moses had ascended. He says, "Who serve a copy and a shadow of the heavenly things. Just as Moses was warned by God when he was about to erect the tabernacle. For he said, 'See that you make all things according to the pattern which was shown to you on the mountain.'" What I want you to understand by that is just that simply the tabernacle as it existed in the time of David, the tabernacle as it existed in the time of Moses, was all established according to the pattern that had been given from heaven. But that pattern was just that. It was just a pattern. It was patterned after the real thing that they were given to see. It was patterned after the real point and purpose of what God was trying to begin to speak into the people, why he was beginning to set an expectation for in the Spirit. It was a shadow of the things to come. And even as you can see on the stage, that when there's a shadow that's cast by something as it comes. And in John 4, verse 24, if we'll flip back over to there, we'll see what this pattern begins to look like. I'm sorry, verse 23. An hour is coming, and now is, when worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For such the Father seeks to be his worshipers. For God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. I wanted to just give it a little bit of an understanding. The truth here, we all understand that God is a spirit. But the truth here, this is what God was dealing with. And this is why I'm talking about the pattern. Because truth, the meaning of truth, is an unveiled reality lying at the basis of, or also, truth as opposed to types and shadows. See, the Old Testament was all about the types and the shadows. And what he's bringing is no longer a type and a shadow, but he's bringing the actual truth, the actual thing that was casting the shadow. When the real has come, you no longer need the shadow. And that's what he's begun to do in our life. When we no longer have to come into a physical place that's a holy of holies, we can come into him. We're no longer worshiping a physical object, we're worshiping him. We no longer have to come to a physical place and lay down a goat for an offering to get forgiveness. We come to him. We no longer need that shadow. So when we begin to see in our lives, there are things that have cast shadows in our own life. And we need to learn how to turn it, bring it into the light, so that we see him. See, in Matthew 27:51, and I'm going to just talk about it. You don't have to turn there. At the moment that Christ was crucified on the cross, at the moment that he gave up his spirit, and I had the privilege of seeing this in a vision before I ever even read the account in the Bible. At that moment, as he was up there and he was feeling all of your pain and he was also experiencing the joy of who you will be. In that moment, as he gave up his spirit, the veil in front of the Holy of Holies was rent from top to bottom. We're talking about a veil that stood 70 foot tall. This is not some small task. It just wasn't just some freak blowing of the wind. They calculated it took thousands of pounds of pressure to separate this multifolded garment, multi-layered garment. And what he was signifying there was no longer do we have to come in through these natural systems, this shadow that's there, but we can come into me. That there's a freedom now that's been given that we have access to Him. There's a freedom that's been given that we can begin to step into Him. And that's the truth that we're to rise up in this hour. He unveiled. Remember the unveiled reality lying at the base of stuff? He unveiled. He revealed His truth. And truth is just that. It's a revealing process. Truth reveals all that's falsehood. And truth reveals what God really intended. Hallelujah. The gospel is truth. And at the same time, the gospel is a revelation of who He is. Think about that one a second. It's a revelation of who He is. It's a revelation of His love and of His holiness. It's a revelation of His desire for you. And it's His truth. It's a revelation of what He likes. Part of any relationship is knowing what the other person likes. You know, in a relationship, if I think that to show love is to say words that are teasing and mocking, and the other person thinks that's not love, I can share all the love I want, but it ain't going to go anywhere. It's not going to get received. But when I begin to know the other person and know they need words of affirmation, and they need words of strength, they need words of encouragement, when I share my love, it gets received. Amen? So we all need to know then, in our relationships in the natural and in our relationship with God, what it is that they like. And that's what we see. For Psalm 119 says that all thy commandments are truth. The law tells us who God is. It establishes a foundation for our relationship. The Ten Commandments are just a simple, they're like the quick start guide for your relationship. Here's who I am. I'm a holy God. I want you to love me. I want you to love your neighbor. I don't want you to commit adultery. I want you to love me above every other thing. You have a relationship with me and me only. Hallelujah. By accepting who He is, what He likes and what He doesn't like, the truth begins truly setting us free. See, there's another shadow in our life that determines a whole lot about how we see God. And that shadow was our parents. What happens with our father? What happens with our mother? Those are the things that shape and color how we see God. And as we begin to address those things in our life, we need to come to a place where we can become, where we can know what is truth. Because no matter how good they were, they still fall short of the glory of God. Even if they were perfect parents by our understanding, they're still going to present limits that God doesn't present. They're still going to present barriers that God didn't intend for us to have. And if there were an abusive relationship, then there's going to be even more barriers. And the one thing that the enemy tries to do is use these things to push us away, to keep us from seeking the very thing that's going to be give us healing. And I've made a covenant within myself that when I see the enemy's tactic, I'm going to press through. If I feel that the enemy is trying to separate me from somebody or something, I'm going to press through. If I see that everything that he did was to try to keep me from knowing and understanding a Father's love, then I'm going to seek the Father's love. I'm going to allow that love to embrace me. Even though it may hurt, I'm going to allow that love to embrace me until I can know that I can stand, be embraced by it. Until his truth of that love begins to saturate my soul and change those things that had bound me. There's a pressing in. There's a pressing in. See, last week we spoke about fathers and that we are the generation of fathers to that next generation that are coming up. It's time for us to begin to look and understand what that really means and how that looks. And know that everything that happened within our growing up that was good, we need to embrace it, be nurtured and matured by it, but not be limited by the things that they were limited by. As a father, I don't intend to put limits on my children in terms of, I don't intend to put boundaries to keep them safe, obviously. But I don't intend to pass on my baggage. But inevitably I have. Not because I intended to, but because it's a human thing. But my prayer for them is for them to go past this place, for the place that I achieve to be their starting place. The place, the same thought has to be for our spiritual children, for them to come in at the platform, for them to come into the place that we've arrived to in our life with God, and for that to be the platform that they spring off of. And there comes a resurrection power in that. Hallelujah. It's our job as fathers to represent God as truthfully as we can. And there's another way where truth can set you free. Because as I endeavor to represent God to another generation, it pushes me to acknowledge His truth in my life. I challenge you to begin representing God to another generation. Hallelujah. I'd like to turn to Hebrews 10:22, and we'll close here in just a moment. In Hebrews 10:22. It says, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. I want to point out something that word sincere, your version may use true. King James uses true for that word. But that word true or sincere means a heart that's real, it's genuine, it's not counterfeit. It's not imaginary, not simulated or pretended. So when we present ourselves before God, He's saying, I don't want you to come before me with a false aspiration. or a false attitude. I want you to come to me with being real and genuine. But there's a note that I want to make here because it's important to you. Because, see, what we can do is we can see that and we can come into a place of condemnation. But he didn't intend that. Because there's two words he could have used. And the other word, that was, this first one was 228, which was the actual word he used. The other word that he could have used in that same place would have been 227, which one in the Greek, one who cannot lie. One true God as opposed to idols. See, what he's trying to tell us here is that our heart doesn't have to be perfect. Only sincere in its purpose. There's only one who's truly been perfect of heart. And he's willing to impart that to you. He's asked for you to be sincere in your pursuit of him. He's not expecting you to be perfect because he already knows who you are. He's already accepted who you are. He just wants you to be whole in your pursuit of him. See, this is what Peter learned when he denied the Lord three times. He denied the Lord three times. The Lord spoke into his life and said, Peter, you're my rock. And on you, you're the foundation I'm going to build. This church that I'm about to bring forth, the bride of Christ that I'm about to bring forth, it's going to come partly through you. And yet, within days, hours, he denied him three times. And he had to walk with the guilt and the shame of that until the Lord met him there in John 21. And the Lord said, Peter, do you love me? He said, yes, I do. Peter, do you love me? Yes, I do. He said three times he acknowledged his love for him. And then the Lord began to speak over him, telling him that what he was going to become. And how he was going to die in his old age, not as a young man. And he instilled a faith in him. He began to speak over him. And he basically, at the same time, he began to recognize the potential. He didn't lose faith just because Peter missed it. See, God has a trust in you. He has trusted you, and he's trusting you with his message. He's trusting you with his vision. He's trusting you with his love. What we do with it is up to us. But he trusts you. He's accepting you, and he's only looking for you to come to him with a sincerity. But not perfection. See, the Lord saw Peter's mistakes, but he also saw his potential and where he was going to be, and he counted it to him as righteousness. And so the Lord has done in your life. He knows who you are, he knows where you're going, and he knows how to account it to you as righteousness. And the truth of that can change your life. Hallelujah. It leads us into, as we understand and acknowledge his truth, it leads us into an abiding with him. All the things, when we begin to know his truth, all the things that have kept us from believing, kept us from his presence, those things begin to fall away. As we allow his truth, the truth of his love, to come over everything else that we think, the deception falls away. And there's an abiding, a willingness to abide. We no longer have to run from God. You know, there's a lot of people, I mean, there's two human responses to danger. One is flight, the other is fight. Now, I spent my life fighting a whole lot of windmills before Christ. Unfortunately, a few of them after Christ, but I'm learning. But there are a lot of us who our first response when we feel danger is to run. But that's only comes because there's a belief that there's some way in within God that He would have harm towards, intended towards us. And so when we understand the truth that He gave His only begotten Son so that we might have life, and how would He not give us all good things? When we begin to understand that in our heart and in our spirit, and our first reaction goes, oh, wait a second, my flesh says run, but my heart says stay. My heart says embrace. My spirit wants to embrace. That's when the truth sets us free. That's when truth sets us free. It's a comfort to know, as Solomon expressed in Proverbs 12, that they that deal truly are his delight. So when we negotiate ourselves with life in his truth, we become his delight. I would like for you this week, this is a homework assignment, so just meditate Proverbs 12, 17 to 28. Verses 17 through 28. That's 12. If you meditate two a day, two scriptures a day. There's some really neat stuff there. It speaks of righteousness. It speaks of truth. It speaks of learning about God. Hallelujah. John in 3 John says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And I believe he was speaking on the behalf of the Holy Ghost. Because as we'll embrace that truth, we embrace progress. We embrace our future. We embrace destiny. We embrace that love. I would like for you to just repeat a prayer with me. Lord Jesus, give me the grace to embrace your truth that I may exhibit more of your love, that I may know more of you, that I may abide with you. In Jesus' name, amen.